The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome back once again, everybody. Little thought for you now. A little something to mull over for the course of the week. It wasn't very much to offer. In fact, it was ridiculously inadequate. Five loaves of barley. A pair of dried fish. And yet, with nothing more than that, Jesus Christ is able to feed 5,000 people. It wasn't his most spectacular miracle. Not even close. This wasn't walking on the water or restoring sight to a man born blind or bringing a child back from the dead. Not even close to Jesus' most spectacular miracle. And yet, this is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. Did you know that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of all the things they possibly could talk about, they all decide that this miracle is one that they need to mention. So it must be pretty darned important. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it is that this miracle, the multiplying of the loaves and the fishes, is so very important? I can think of three reasons why, okay? Three reasons why. Number one, this miracle shows that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything God promised in the Old Testament. He's the one they've all been waiting for, and this miracle shows it. Because this isn't the first time that God has fed his people miraculously with bread. Remember the story of Moses in the book of Exodus, making their way through the desert. And what happened every morning as the people were making their way from slavery in Egypt to the promised land? Every morning they would find the manna in the desert. A mysterious bread that they'd never seen before. And they found that it was just enough for everyone to have all that they needed. God provided for his people. You might remember the story of the prophet Elijah and the poor widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon, and how the jar of wheat flour never ran dry. They kept taking from it and taking from it and drawing down from it, and it never ran dry. It was a miracle. They had everything that they needed, and God provided for his people. You might even know the story of how the prophet Elisha multiplied loaves to feed a hungry crowd. He had just a few loaves of bread, and he fed 100 people. And when he was done, they had leftovers, because God always provides for his people. But none of those stories were anything like near what this crowd saw Jesus do, the feeding of the 5,000 and the 12 wicker baskets left over. And it shows that this is the one greater than all the prophets, the one they'd all been expecting, the promised Messiah. It's the first reason why this miracle is so important. Okay? Second reason why. This miracle prefigures the Eucharist. There's so many little details in here that are exact prefigurements of what happened at the Last Supper on Holy Thursday. Both of them take place in the evening. Both of them begin by people reclining where they are. In both cases, Jesus takes bread, gives the blessing, breaks it, and distributes it, and everyone has everything that they needed. That's the subject of a whole other homily. One of these days I'll tell you. But that's the second reason why this is so important. But the third reason why this miracle is so important is what I would like to share with you here this evening. Okay? And I think the most important reason for us to ponder. No matter how inadequate your resources, no matter how limited, how ridiculously insufficient you have to give, if you give it to the Lord in faith, He makes it enough. Now, that's a lesson we cannot hear often enough. That's a lesson we dare not ever forget, and that's why it shows up in all four Gospels. I don't care how limited, ridiculously inadequate your resources, you give them to the Lord, and He makes it enough. Did you know this whole miracle takes place because just one kid gave away his dinner? The details don't show up here in Matthew's Gospel. It shows up in the Gospel of John, in which is St. Andrew who comes to Jesus and he says, "Hey, Jesus, there's a little kid here with five loaves of barley and a pair of dried fish, but what good are those for so many?" And this unsung hero, this little kid, we'll never know his name, takes what he has, absurdly inadequate, gives it over to Jesus, and that's how this miracle takes place, with the lesson that we need to remember being, never let what you cannot do keep you from doing what good you can. Never let what you do not have prevent you from giving what you do have. Give it to the Lord in faith. He makes it enough. Maybe not immediately like a miracle like this, but I'm telling you, every time. In fact, that same message, that shows up again and again and again in this very gospel, right? The apostles didn't have enough to give. They were completely out of personal resources. That's why when they saw this vast crowd, they told Jesus to tell him to go away, right? Saw this vast crowd, and they said, "Jesus, there's no way we can possibly feed all these people. Tell them all to go home. Tell them to go each to his own house," right? It's late in the day. They're a problem. "Jesus, please, make my problem go away." Do you ever pray like that? You turn to the Lord in prayer and you say, "Jesus, won't you please make my problem go away?" Yes or yes? Yes. Okay. And what does He do? I'm telling you, two times out of three, if not more, He does to you what He said to His apostles right here in this gospel. "No. No, I'm not going to make your problem go away." You want to know why? Because I want you to have the dignity of participating with me in bringing about this solution. That's why He says to His apostles, "You give them something yourselves. You give them something yourselves." And they become the means by which this great miracle takes place, offering what little they had. Jesus Himself has very little to give right here. I speak of His human nature only. Don't misunderstand. But note how this story starts. Jesus' cousin, St. John the Baptist, has just been killed. His cousin, lifelong friend, most unjustly and brutally murdered. And the story begins by Jesus saying that He went away to a deserted place by Himself. He needed some time to pray, to grieve. Don't forget, He's like us in all things but sin. But when He sees the vast crowd and their needs, he decides to set aside His own personal needs and give what He has to give. And that's how this miracle takes place. Now, the operative question of the evening. Will you give what you have, even when you know it's not enough? How many times, when you're in service of good and truth, when you're in your service of God and others, is there never enough time, never enough money, never enough volunteers? You're always running short. Will you give what you have? That's the operative question. We're living in a world that is demonstrably falling apart all around us, right?
Right.
Marriage is falling apart. Society is falling apart. Government, judicial system, heck, even our own basic decency and common courtesy that we used to take for granted, falling apart all around us. And the church, falling apart with self-inflicted wounds. And what's our temptation? Temptation to complain, right? Complain. What good did that ever do? Zero good. And there's a temptation to point the finger at somebody else. What are you and you and you and you, you going to do to fix it? And God points the finger right back at you and says, what are you going to do about it? You going to complain? You going to say somebody else should do something about it? Or are you going to offer what little you have and discover for yourself just how much God can do through you? I don't care if you think you're a zero. I had a man once, he told me, I'm a zero. I don't have anything to offer. First of all, that's not true. You're made by God. And that means no matter who you think you are, you always have something good that you can give. But even if you think you're a zero, right? Maybe you're a financial zero. Maybe you're a moral zero or a social zero, or you have zero demonstrable talent. Or maybe, you know, your health is failing and you feel like you're a burden to everybody who knows you and you think, I'm nothing but a great big zero. Don't ever forget that Jesus is the one. And when you put that one in front of all those zeros, you end up with quite a number. Whoever fails to include God in his arithmetic has forgotten how to add. This is the way it's been down through in the beginning. All the greatest things God has ever done have been done through people who have almost nothing to offer. Almost nothing to offer. I like the story of Abraham, one of my favorite stories. And God calls Abraham at the age of 75. He says, go to a land that I'll show you. And Abraham says, can't you pick somebody younger, right? Somebody with a spring in their step. And God says, no, I want you. And Abraham says, where am I supposed to go? And God says, I'll tell you when you get there. Now go. Almost nothing to offer. Moses, God's spokesman. You know, Moses had a speech impediment. He walked with a stick. And he found himself with his back against the Red Sea and the most powerful army in the world approaching him. Pharaoh's chariots and horses and drivers. And with nothing to offer, look at what God did. Look what God did. Story of King David, who had nothing but a slingshot and five smooth stones, and he took on a heavy favorite known as Goliath, and he won. The story of a history down through the church. Nobody tells this story better than our Blessed Mother, who by her own admission was God's lowly servant, a little child of maybe 14, maybe 15, who shows us better than anybody else how history can turn on a dime when one person looks God in the eye and has the faith to say yes. The story of the 12 apostles. Unlettered fishermen from the hinterlands of the Roman Empire who among themselves couldn't even put together so much as a coherent sentence. But look at what God does through them. And the question to ask is, why not you? Why not now? That's the question of the week. When you find yourself with inadequate resources and an overwhelming problem, there's one of two things you can do. One of two things. You can either throw your hands up into the air in exasperation and say, I can't. Or you can get down on your knees, offer to God what you have, and say, God can. Your choice. Your choice. If you believe that, God's going to do great things through you. God's going to do great things through you if you believe that. If I believe that, I probably wouldn't say another word. I would just step down from this pulpit and trust in God's power instead of my own poor limited gifts for a change. Now there's an idea.